It's the Tiltcast episode 656, Spacer's Choice.
And this week, guys, we talk Doom the Dark Ages, Borderlands 4, Escape from Dukov, Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2, and what we're really excited for, The Outer Worlds 2. Stay tuned.
It's a whole episode. And we're back. It is the Tiltcast.
Woohoo.
It's an M-rated show. I'm Nas.
I'm Jason.
I'm Rusty.
And the three of us could probably get some form of bullshit.
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 Some games, some news. I'm the only one on camera today. This is weird.
Yeah, sorry. I've got an epic fucking migraine. I have my monitor even at like a super low fucking brightness.
So
I'm barely alive.
I'm shy. Sorry.
I'm not. I guess we got a lot to talk about. It's been weird trying to chase this new format as we change things around. I feel like we've been hustling at 9,000 miles an hour for about, I don't know, 6 weeks now. Put out like more episodes in 6 weeks than we do in 6 months. It's been an interesting ride. If you haven't already, check us out on YouTube. We are posting one full-length episode about once a month and three mini news episodes every week. Of course, we'll have many news episodes along with this. But yeah, we are pushing at a furious pace right now. So
we're doing the thing.
I'll remind you, go find Tiltcast Shorts with a Z on YouTube. Subscribe.
Yep.
Hit your notification bell. Help us out there.
Yep. But we do actually play video games aside from doing video game news. It's just in short form content. Sometimes talking about a game seems kind of weird. And I do prefer the long format because it's a lot more casual. Have you guys been
a lot more casual? We don't have to be as tight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you guys been playing anything in the last month?
Oh my God. In the last month?
Yeah.
Have I been playing things?
For me, a lot.
Good.
Go for it. Get in there.
Thing. All right. So I played through Doom the Dark Ages.
Did you beat it?
Yeah. I'm actually relatively, you know, like short when you're not.
All right, treasure hunting.
When you're not treasure hunting, which I did do because I knew I needed to get through it and a couple other games. So got through that. Loved everything about that. I loved the. It's not a slow pace. The game's not slow. But I enjoy very much so that it is not the extreme frantic pace that Doom Eternal was. Sometimes it felt like the key to most of the levels in Doom Eternal was actually to just speedrun it. And not even necessarily worry about killing everything in sight unless your path was blocked and then you were forced to, right? Like, it felt like that's what the game's progression was. And because of that, it made certain things very hard. Also, a lot of the map traversals were kind of tricky to figure out, right? There was a lot of double jumping and shit like that. With Doom the Dark Ages, they slowed down the pace. You didn't feel so constantly overwhelmed by it. And it encouraged you to take a more tactical approach to how you cleared rooms, which was awesome. I love figuring out the tactical approach. Also, I kind of like the whole shield jump thing. That was a pretty cool mechanic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, yeah,
that's great.
So unlock the internet. You actually like this game.
Yes, I actually really love this game. I think the internet's widely wrong. And I think there's probably a large portion of gamers out there that share our opinions of liking this game, because, Noss, I know you like it.
I like it. I just fell off it. This year's been so busy that I've had a hard time getting stuff to stick. Like, it really has to stick.
I can see that.
I can see that as well.
The thing about Doom the Dark Ages that I think is that was appealing to me is that it didn't have the same frantic pace as Eternal. And it was kind of like where you get Doom 2016 and Doom Eternal and found a middle ground. That's kind of where Dark Ages sits. Because you've got movement abilities, right? But you're not fucking air dashing, or you don't feel like you have to air dash everywhere. Like the last fight of Eternal, I remember it being a small room, and if you touched the ground, you were basically dead. If you touched the ground for longer than, a few seconds, right, you're dead. So it was enjoyable. Doom the Dark Ages was an enjoyable, because you do kind of feel tanky. Like, you feel like there's weight behind everything because you're stomping around like a fucking tank a lot of times.
True. But,
I also felt like the cinematics in the game were a welcome addition. I thought showing you more of the story, playing out more of the story with the cinematics was more of a natural progression from Doom 2016 than what Doom Eternal was. Or at least it felt that way to me. It felt like they were hooking on to creating a larger narrative in Doom 2016, and then Doom Eternal just felt like they didn't focus really on the narrative at all. You were still capturing all of it, by reading journal entries and pickups, whatnot, right? So,
I suppose Doom has never really been about story.
That is very true.
But I have come to love the story that they are crafting, though.
I get that.
But that's my personal opinion.
I mean, you play Doom to fucking shoot shit, and I mean,
if we want to talk about like former, I mean, I guess they're all id, right? But like id titles where the story became something pretty central to it, I think you think Wolfenstein, aside from the one with the two kids, right? The Wolfenstein games story actually became incredibly memorable. I think a much higher level than Doom did, but I think Doom did fine for a weird sci-fi story about ardent energy and all, corporations using ardent energy to power the world. It's a weird story, but it is what it is, right? It's definitely different. It's not bad. I wouldn't say it stands on its own, though. Like, I think Wolfenstein's story actually stands on its own without the game. The game just happens to have really, really good bits in between, but I think you genuinely care about the characters a lot more in Wolfenstein, which is a statement I don't think that I would have ever made back when I was playing that in elementary and high school. But that's kind of fair for any game from back then. Like, people wanted stories to be crafted around games, but not always, right? Like, I've got some examples of stuff that I could care less about the story that I'm playing right now. But you finished it, so that means you got to give it a rating, Jason.
Four point two out of five. It's not a perfect game by any means.
No, that'd be a Metacritic 84. That's pretty high. That's pretty solid.
I mean, I probably give a lot more credence to the story bits than most of the reviewers out there did. I found very little technical issues with the game. But there were certainly places that they could improve. Like, I felt like some of the guns didn't feel different enough, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I could see that.
And I feel like your one really big punch ended up becoming your shield. And while I understand wanting to put some emphasis on the shield, I felt like they maybe overpowered the shield too much and ignored the other weapons.
For me, it was like the... So there's a bit of, like, the shield play. I mean, obviously that's like their signature piece in, you know, in the game, right? For me, it was basically like forcing you to use a specific weapon, for certain enemy types. So if I'm going to town and I like the gun, let me keep using that gun. But I really don't want to have to change over to, something that's good for armor or good for fucking shields just because the enemy that pops up in front of me just happens to have either armor or shields,
So. That plasma gun's pretty satisfying.
It is pretty satisfying.
The plasma gun was great.
I need to go back and finish it. I feel like we're going to get so far past end of year and I'm going to not have completed nearly half of what I wanted to play.
Right.
Did you end up playing anything else?
I did. I gave the pregnant pause there so we'd have something to cut with. I need to yeah, so I have played other games. I also dove into Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2.
Oh, God. How was that? Because, I've been waiting for so long. It's kind of like Silksong for me. It's like one of those games that never was going to come out for me.
Right. So, I mean, all of us really been waiting on it a long time. We all liked Bloodlines, right? Like that was a thing.
You guys are more into it than I was.
That's true. So I'm about halfway through it. I have really, really enjoyed my time with it. It does have its bugs. Sometimes it's slow to switch environments when you're moving from inside a building to outdoors. But that's really the only hitch I've run into playing the game, and I'm playing it at 1440
address
on my 3080 with ray tracing on, so it's doing pretty good.
Address a few things for me, because there's some key reasons I didn't pick it up. Well, A, bugs. I'd heard some people had saves that busted, and then they had to replay the whole game again. That obviously hasn't happened. B, the first game was an RPG with a lot of choice and consequence. This one didn't have that. And then I heard there's not really an inventory or anything to loot. And so it feels more like an action game with a story wrapped around it versus an RPG. And so that's what I've heard. What's your take?
So my take is there's still choice and consequence, right? I have actually died several times and had to go back because I made the wrong choice conversationally, and it led to some fairly bad consequences, like down the line, like in my next mission, for example, having, let's say way more, anarch enemies than I was necessarily ready to face based on my level, straight up, one time had the,
elder of the city end up just wrecking my day because I pissed her off. So there is some consequences there. Now, conversationally, it's a whole lot harder to hit a lot of those consequences, but there are some consequences built in. It is not a straight RPG. I will
can't you finish
fully
the,
say that.
Can't you finish the skill tree pretty early too, so that after a while you're just playing a maxed out character?
I wouldn't know because I'm only about halfway through and I've not filled out the skill tree yet.
Okay. So maybe that was a hot take.
That feels like a little bit of a hot take to me. I mean, the skill trees are small. It's not a super heavy skill tree. Like each bloodline, you have your 6 base abilities, and then you can spend additional ability points to learn another clan's discipline skill. So, for example, let's say your 4th native skill cost 5 skill points. Well, to learn another clan's skill in that tier, it might cost you 15 skill points to learn it. So it's kind of RPG light in that way. The skill trees aren't overly complicated, and they're fairly limited. But to be fair, that's more in line with with the base TTRPG as far as your actual vampiric skills. Now, they certainly could have gone full RPG and expanded on that more, you know, playing out your everyday skills like your speech, your driving ability, your ability to handle weapons, etc., to you know, broken all that out and made the skill tree much larger. Yeah. But they focus the skill tree basically on your vampiric abilities. I don't necessarily hate the choice. It is one of the downsides of the game, but I feel like saying it completely ignored being an RPG and didn't really give your choices weight is an incorrect take. There is some weight to your choices, but the weight to your choices is like the difference between Mass Effect 1 and 2, right? Where Mass Effect 1, really, there were 2 real big decisions that you could make throughout the first game, right? That would impact whether or not, one, you had Rex on your side at the end, and two, which one of your sidekicks lived. But then Mass Effect 2, man, your choices could impact anyone in your party, right? And decide whether they made it through the end or not. So it's a much more limited thing, much like the first Mass Effect, which I'm okay with. You're a new vampire in the city. You don't really have any ties to the existing court of Seattle or the players in it. So you're fairly limited. Now, you are also basically being... most of the narrative is driven by a vampire that you diablerized, and basically his soul is talking to you throughout the game. That's where most of the narrative is driven from. Figuring out his death, figuring out what who woke you up because you've been in torpor for like a century, et cetera, et cetera. So, so it, narratively, it makes sense that, that your choice impact would be fairly limited to like what could happen to you, not necessarily the world around you. And most of your negative choices do only impact you directly. But I enjoyed the narrative. The story is a well-crafted story. I've enjoyed playing through it so far. The vampire characters around it are very indicative of what you would expect for each of the clans. They are well written. You're basically plopped into what is kind of a brooding war between the Camarilla and the Anarchs, within Seattle itself. So, gameplay wise, I like the combat in the game. I'm fine with the limited skill tree. I'm not going to knock the game as hard for that as some of the other reviewers have. I think it's fine and makes sense within the narrative. The story itself so far is pretty linear, which again is another knock against it as far as its RPG elements. But then again, I wasn't necessarily expecting a fully open world game where you just do what you want either. There is some of that, but within the broader context of the story. So you can tackle things in whichever order you want, but you're still limited to missions within the story's context. I don't know. I actually think that the game features the best story out of any of the video game adaptions for Vampire the Masquerade.
There are just
places where the execution could be better. But I will say there are a lot of extremely hot takes out there that I feel like are way too harsh. I feel like it's an enjoyable game. I don't regret spending $60 on it.
Dang, that's a lot.
I would say I would be happier, you know, at $30 or $40 than at $60.
Well, I guess you give
for me to say no.
I guess you'll give a final rating when you're done, and then Rusty, maybe you'll pick it up on the Christmas sale.
Maybe the thing is,
there's too many games.
Well, A, there's too many games. B, I have always, you know, well, we played the tabletop, right? I mean, we played the tabletop, and I've got some really great, you know, memories of playing the tabletop. And one of the things that that I get from Vampire the Masquerade is that it needs to be good in its story, because that's how the tabletop is made.
Yeah,
it is.
And the story, I will say, is excellent. I mean, it's as much a mystery novel as it is an Anne Rice novel, right? Which is kind of where the world of darkness has always sat as far as the TTRPG.
It does have its, you know, have those, yeah. I can agree with that. The So for me, it doesn't have to be a full RPG. It just needs to have enough of a RPG framework to make the characters work. There's got to be a reason for your your characters to have certain powers or have certain limitations, right? So that's always really how the tabletop has really presented itself. It's not D&D in the way of like, you have to follow these rules. You can't do this because of this. No, it, in the White Wolf, tabletop universes, you tend to have more of a story, and then you can, you know, and if it makes sense for your character to be able to do that type of thing, and your character has those skills, then sure, yeah, you totally can do that. Like, I remember a very great incident that involved a horse, that became a weapon. That's aside. I think that for me, it would, I don't know. I'll give it a try, but it's not going to be like right away. And I think that because of my past experience with the tabletop, I'm going to give it a little bit more of a harsher take.
I will say what it does really well, similar to the tabletop, is it is very much a war of words. Whenever you're talking to any of the voice acted characters within the narrative around the story.
Okay.
So it does do that extremely well. And like I said, there have been consequences. I've straight up been wrecked a few times by the word choice chose.
I think one of the reasons that I would kind of quietly sit on the sidelines and not wanted to play the game is originally they had Chris Avalon writing it, right? And it was originally a different developer. And so like they've patched this game together from a whole bunch of other ideas. So it's been a hodgepodge from the start. But Chris Avalon was originally the writer for this, who's got some fantastic credits and does great with dialogue. And he had some allegations came out, which were proven false, and he was redeemed from. But because he had allegations, they kicked him off the project. Allegations came up, they kicked him off the project. You know, 8 months to a year later, he gets cleared finally from the courts. And then, you know, they pick some half-baked author to do it. So, like, to me, I feel like it's a shell of what it might have been. And so I kind of think that's why in my head it was like, yeah, like maybe if it's on a sale or whatever. The game journos, I don't really care what they think, to be honest with you. Most of what I go off of are some trusted YouTubers, which I hope that you guys think that we are trusted YouTubers since we have kind of different takes on things.
Yeah.
Because we're not swayed by really anything, honestly. Well, I guess I'm swayed on this, but I'm swayed on this because I thought there was more potential, and then it kind of got yanked out from under me. But you made a statement. You made a statement, Jason. You said, I was happy paying $60, but I've been a whole lot happier spending $30, right, or $40. And that's a very weighing statement, right? Like, you had some FOMO because you guys are both huge into this franchise, right? It'd be like me. If a new Fallout game came out that was pretty mediocre, I'd probably still buy it. And then I'd probably Fallout 76. I did it. Mm-hmm. And it did get better over time, but it never hit the heights that any of the old games ever did. It's aside from the twin stick shooter, it's the worst Fallout game.
Now, that said, I mean, that's just my first impression only being halfway through it. Let me preface that particular statement by saying that I've not completed the game, and that opinion could change by the time I complete it. So by the time we next record a full-length podcast, that opinion could change. But as of right now, because of the primary technical glitch that has issues loading the outside world whenever you're switching from inside a building to going outside, and because like every side quest is basically just a combat encounter, that's kind of where I'm landing now. like I said, that's it. My opinion could change. So stay tuned.
Yeah, and you can quote me on this, but I'm still not 100% sure. I want to say that I'd heard something along the lines of the development on this, and this is me listening to a podcast probably a month and a half ago, that the lead investor on this essentially wanted to get this. So they bought this hoping for more, salvaged this project and franchise together, bolted it together and got it out the door, and are almost in a place where they're going to be at a loss so they can write it off and never do it again. So it's essentially like was revived to scrap it is almost what it sounds like. Again, I could be completely wrong, right? Like maybe they come out with a new one of these a few years later and then it's amazing and they save the franchise, but it doesn't feel like that. And so that's why I'm kind of like cautious on $30 is, you know, or $60 is $60. And for some people, that's a lot. Some people, that's not a lot. I've gotten a lot better value out of a lot of the $20 items and $10 items I've bought recently. So that's kind of where my headspace is. For peanuts, I could buy three games, right, for that.
Yep.
Right. Well, that's true.
There is that. The thing is, with this being a $60 game, and I've been watching it for forever, and I played the tabletop, I know enough about the game and the game world to be interested in it, but I still haven't jumped on it. That should tell you something. And and I saw that Jason picked it up, and I'm like, I mean, great. And you kind of got me off the hook, to be honest, because at least one of us got it so that we could get a good look at it. But I just said, man, I kind of want to play this game, but everything that I've heard, it just had a weird feel to it. And yeah. I don't think that I would have given it a great shot, especially with how my gameplay habits have been over the last month.
I would point to the fact that, all of the reviews out there are all over the place, right? You've got some outlets that are calling this game trash, not worth money. You have others that are, like me, mostly positive, but so far have seen some drawbacks, right?
You were going to get this regardless, though, Jason.
I mean, I was going to get it regardless just because I knew as much as this has languished out there and it took as long as it did, somebody needed to at least take a look at it. And it was
might as well be
there was enough conflict around it amongst the internet before its release that I was like, I'm not going to leave this up to just the to the publications and to the YouTubers to give me an idea of whether or not I should play this game. On the whole, it's a good story. It's a good game so far. I think anyone who's willing to give it a try should give it a try. I'm just not sure that until I finish it, whether I'd recommend wholeheartedly giving it a try at its full price.
Fair.
That's a good take. So taking one for the team here.
That's where I'll leave it for now. That said, I also started sinking myself into the Outer Worlds too, because there's just a whole lot of game before the end of the year, and I feel like I need to finish some of these major releases, or at least get good part of the way through them. Okay. And for the price of Game Pass. Oh, God, that game is good.
I think it's good without the price of Game Pass, honestly. I was looking at my, what I'm paying for Game Pass, and again, I'm at a spot where the price of that doesn't affect me nearly as much, but like I'm like halfway through like three things on Game Pass, and I probably would have picked that up at full price. That, it starts off pretty strong. The, uh, I do like the intro, and I do give a damn about what's going on in the story. I think I kind of got in a spot where I had to play a game while doing other things, if that makes any sense. And that put me in a position where I couldn't listen to dialogue. So I'm kind of like on, I don't know if you call it like chapter two, but I got past that first planet. And now I'm, yeah. And now there's a whole lot of, just like a lot of other RPGs, right? You go to quest hub then gives you bunches of new quest things to do, right? Which involves lots of conversations and having conversations while you're doing other things. It's very difficult.
It's an Obsidian game.
But I like the dialogue, and I'm not playing. What skills did you pick, or kind of like what build are you going for, Jason?
So I went ahead and went with a scientist, and I went with specializing in hacking. Science and speech.
Jason picks the exact same character I did.
Really?
Yeah. Don't forget to put a few points of guns, because it will help.
You definitely have to, and I definitely already have a couple points in guns.
I started off, and then it just wasn't going well. So I will say there is a perk. Is it called like perked or something? It's not a perk. What do they call it? Flaw. There's a flaw called flawed when you take too many flaws.
Stay away from that. The entire internet says stay away from that.
I got the last podcast we did. I got about 4 hours in and I just took every flaw that came my way. I was like, all right, we're going to call this the crazy playthrough. Bro, after you get that, you just automatically accept all of them. And man, my character is so fucking broken by the end of that. I got another hour in and it just was throwing them at me. And it's just like, my character is kleptomaniac on top of like just stealing stuff left and right. People running me out of stores. Like it was chaos. And, I decided at that point, I'm going to try. It was also a dumb character too. Like I started off with a dumb character on purpose.
Oh yeah. I started out with dumb because it seemed like, the least negatively impactful.
It's funny
playthrough.
It's funny, but then now that I've got speech and I'm kind of focused on creating more of a smart character, I can't get past everything, right? Like my character still like can't lockpick anything, which is, it's not meant to be like an all-in-one playthrough is kind of what I'm getting, the vibe that I'm getting, right? Some stuff's always going to be locked behind lockpicking. Some stuff's going to be locked behind hacking. There's a lot of, if you're on a main story quest, right, like they're going to give you alternate paths to things or alternate ways to do stuff. I've been sneaking, but I didn't put any points in sneaking, and I found a weapon that has like 350% sneak damage. So I'm sniping people with a goo pistol. It's like an acid-spitting pistol. It shoots an acid blob at people, and it's kind of fun to autos, you know, snipe somebody who's unaware of you and then just watch them melt into a pile of goo, and then people start going chaotic because they did that. That first planet, I had realized after, like, I've been just rolling with the consequences, and there was a whole quest to sneak into this facility where everybody had gone berserk and then save them. But my character was a murderous asshole for some reason, and instead of sneaking, I was like, I can sneak kill everybody. Well, it turns out I just killed a bunch of people that were just being made crazy by some gas. So kind of screwed that up, but, you know, I'll live with the consequences.
Now I know to look out for that and not be the asshole.
Yeah, it's the bunch of high-level guards around an area. You can sneak in through a side door. You don't have to hide out in the wheat fields or whatever the hell that alien plant is and just snipe people from tall grass, basically. Combat seems snappier. The gunplay feels better. It's not COD, right? But nor Battlefield. But it does feel a lot snappier.
No, but it still feels good.
And I'm genuinely enjoying the story. Like, it's, I just went with a couple of flaws so far. I think it just kind of the game notices how you're doing certain things and it assigns you a flaw, right? And then you can choose to pick it or not. that just add different gameplay elements to the game, which kind of makes it more unique. I don't know. I enjoy it. It's the same, but a lot different at the same time from the first game. I kind of feel like it's viable to do any number of things to this game. Sometimes it'd be really fucking hard too. Especially when you don't have a combat focused character. So I'm relying on my teammates' abilities to kind of carry me sometimes. And you do need to replace your weapons. There's a skill, I think, in the science tree too, that if you mod weapons, it gives them extra damage. Hey, I don't think I picked the exact character you did. I did speech, engineering, and hacking with a little dash of gunplay in there. But zero lock picking. There's so many locked doors I wish I could get past.
Oh, I took lock picking. Yeah.
It wants you to max out the skills. Gunplay.
Basically, I ignored stealth. Because even without the stealth skill, I knew from my experience with Outer Worlds 1 that I could still find my way through stuff, right? So I ignored that completely and I took lockpicking.
How's it running on your 3080?
Great.
Great, that's
even
good.
Even at 1440 with ray tracing on, it's running beautifully. It is well optimized, I will say that.
Next 3080 starting to become a little bit of an older card. It's not old.
For the most part, its big limitations, not necessarily in what it can render, it's
RAM.
How much VRAM it has to do said rendering.
My 3090 is doing just fine. My God. I don't want to have to pay for like a direct line from the fucking power company. I already had to put this thing on its own circuit.
But my computer costs me $50 a month in electricity.
I know. And I have to turn mine off when I'm not anywhere near it. Otherwise, my electric bill goes crazy. That aside, I played a little bit of this.
Yeah.
I didn't get very far. mainly because I had a major case of gamer ADD.
And played Vampire Survivors.
Yeah. I didn't have the same character.
Well, that's good.
I went full guns mode with speech. So basically I focused on combat speech and I think, that was one other thing that I picked up. Might have been lock picking. I can't remember.
I think you always need to have like one of three things, four things. I think you need to either have brawny or engineering, one or the other, because there's a lot of doors that require one of each, one or the other, right? And you need to have lock picking or hacking. Otherwise, like there's alternate paths and stuff, but then you're just like looking for keys from people. You can also pickpocket anybody. My first game, I had a lock pick heavy character, and you just lift keys from people and then just loot your quest rewards however you want, which is kind of nice, right? But I felt like I was skipping chunks of the game. But I guess that's the testament to this game. Like, there's some people ragging on it that it's using a lot of old systems. These are old systems that Obsidian does quite well that I like. Yeah, so
It's not a bad game at all. I found the first Outer Worlds game was I didn't like the gunplay very much. Mainly it didn't feel right. I don't know. There was something about it that just didn't click. I played a lot of that game. I don't think I finished it, but I played a lot of that game.
I finished it and the DLC. I liked it pretty good. I don't remember what I rated it, but kind of like Jason's rating of like Doom Eternal, probably like a 4.1 or 4.2. Like I'm looking for like a good space RPG, and been chasing Mass Effect 2 now for the greater part of a decade. So,
right. This is actually, you know, from what I've played of it. Now, mind you, I just got to, you know, just got to the first planet, and I'm not yet, you know, haven't gotten very far on there. And that is, you know, that's saying something. I think that I'll have a little bit more fun with it once I get into, you know, more of the, you know, having more combat options, maybe, you know, doing some more things, right?
Just steal everything and people don't see it. Just steal everything that's not nailed down. Unless you get arrested, it's not going to matter.
Right. So
there's no weight limit on inventory too, which is great.
Just need to play it is what I need to do. So, my problem, just couldn't focus on a game. So, you know, especially within the last week or so. So I just needed to, you know, I picked it up, played it, liked what I saw, you know, and I think I played the intro mission like twice. One with like a brainy character like you guys, you know, picked, and then one that was more brawny gun focused, and I think I enjoyed the gun focused one more because I went stealth with the brainy character. And
at some point I want to pick a dumb character that's very brawny and melee focused and with like with stealth
go helmet smash,
and then so he can be like the stealthy, like Chungus, right? Like stealth Chungus. And like sneak around in air vents and like stealth kill everybody, and then when it's boss time, like roids up and then just like goes ham.
Make sure that the weapon choice is never a blade. Make it always be a blunt object of some sort.
Because it stuns.
Yes.
There's a lot of blunt weapons. And I do appreciate, like, again, I know there's been, the internet is a weird place, right? But it really reflects like, I don't know, 5% reality. A couple of game developers that were saying like, yeah, use a lot of kind of old systems with how they do things. And I don't mind that. I don't mind they're using the perk system because I like the perk system. Like that it's a living perk system that just kind of like pops up and says, hey, maybe this is what you are, right?
Right. It's more,
they're just gameplay elements that alter like things I think that I would like better, but don't really make sense. Right. So you can grind through doing side quests and exploring, but you can't grind because things don't really respawn. Maybe some of the creatures do, and I don't know it, but like if you clear out a cave, that cave is just cleared out. And that was something that happened in Avowed as well, but Avowed had a little bit less things going on. That makes any sense? Yeah. Like Avowed was kind of a letdown. It was better than okay, but not great.
I never finished it because as soon as I figured out that, you know, you just can't get enough upgrade materials to have more than one gun or more than one weapon that you like.
Yeah, you just had to constantly upgrade the same thing. It was kind of limiting. Yeah. Like it was just, there are some key things that didn't work with that game, which I wish did. But Outer Worlds 2, though, I think they learned some things. I think the scope's a little bit bigger, but not crazy big. But from what I hear, it's probably about a 50-plus hour game, which is a pretty meaty RPG, right?
It's pretty good. That's
you can't compare everything to The Witcher.
Amount of,
right? Or Cyberpunk, which are... Well, Cyberpunk's about 50, 60 hours.
Depends on how you play Cyberpunk.
If you stealth it the whole time.
You could put a lot of time in Cyberpunk.
If with the DLC, it's longer, like probably pushing like 80, 90. But like,
well, I mean, if
you can play everything but Radiant Quest,
you could play Cyberpunk for over 100 hours easy.
Yeah, if you play it GTA style and do nothing but like just go kill random gangs on the street. But
oh no, there's a lot of side quests in that game.
There is. I guess what I'm getting at,
a huge amount of side quests in that game.
Right. What I'm getting at is for like really long RPGs, like there's only like all the Mass Effects are like 50, 60 hours. Maybe even less. I want to say Mass Effect 2 might be like 40 tops.
I think I had at one point a picture of my Mass Effect 3 playthrough with like the completion screen, and it was like just over 50 hours.
That's kind of what I'm getting at. So like, longer doesn't always mean better. Like Assassin's Creed does longer, right? Like you can do Radiant bullshit in that game for like 200 hours, but it's designed to keep you using the Ubisoft Plus or whatever the hell it's called. It's right. It's a lot of bloat. And so I feel like this is a little bit more focused to get you kind of through things, to enjoy the things that you're doing, versus like, there hasn't been a lot of fetch quests so far in this game. Like a lot of it seems like there's some purpose, and some of it's just the purpose is it's stupid. But I like some of the stupid too. You're just out there solving problems. That's what you're doing. You're out there solving problems, and I like to problem solve. It's a very old school masculine thing, I guess, that just kind of keys into my senses. But I don't know. I'm gonna kind of bounce around back and forth. I've been busy with photography. Stupid busy. That's part of where my game time's gone. Be doing that right after the show today. But I bounced off a lot. I got most of the way through Borderlands, and me and you can talk about that here in a second, Rusty.
Yep.
But I it saw a lot of internet memery around this this Dukov game. What is it called? I just keep calling it Duck Game.
Escape from Dukov.
Escape from Dukov. It's spelled D-U-C-K-O-V.
Dukov.
I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it an hour. If it sucks, I'll give it away. Right? Like, Steam's refund policy is pretty good. And sometimes I use it like that. Not all the time, but recently there's been a couple of times. And so I fired it up. And initially it's kind of stupid when it gets started. It's like, when is this dumb game that everybody thinks is so awesome? And it's Escape from Tarkov single player. And it is surprisingly deep. It is pretty brutal sometimes. I am blowing up ducks into little giblets, and then when they're finally dead, their corpse is like a little roasted duck, which is kind of great. It is really hard right now, so kind of put it on pause. It's kind of a roguelite, but kind of not. So, like, every time you load out in the world, the enemy placement's different. The loot placement's different. But you basically go out with shit weapons when you start, right? You get this, like, trash pistol. There's, like, a freebie box right at the beginning when you first open up the world. And it's got a handful of rusty bullets and a pistol, and that's to get you started. And then the idea is that your enemies are going to drop weapons and ammo. And then throughout the world, there are different things you can loot for different materials. And you're slowly building up an operation on the back end to get way better stuff. So you're basically building a base with all of this stuff. And that's your progression. And then you've got all these little quests that you're doing in between. So, like, I need you to kill these guys with sniper rifles. These are kind of like almost like Radiant quests.
You know what?
And it's got a very moddable weapons, which is crazy. What?
You're describing another game, too.
What's the other game?
Zero Sievert.
Oh, it's totally Zero Sievert. Yeah. It's totally Zero Sievert. Like, and I like Zero Sievert a lot, too. So it's basically – it's another take on Zero Sievert more than Escape from Tarkov. It is 100% single player, and you can pause it. And there's this whole storm that goes on, this random event that happens like every 190 hours or something like that, right? And then I'm working my way up to get protection for that because there's other things it can do. And that changes the whole landscape into a completely different landscape. But you unlock new levels and you unlock new shortcuts throughout the world so that you can start in different sections of the map based on what you're trying to do. But it's incredibly deep, full of like there's bosses that you can farm for loot. Like there's some of the enemy AI is incredibly talented's not the word, just well-designed, right? I get ambushed a lot. If you're using loud weapons, that can be a detriment. If you use silenced weapon, there is some drop-off on your damage. So there's some trade-off there. So like there's incentives to just use a muzzle brake. If you're using bad ammo, your weapons run out or wear down faster, and eventually they become useless. It does take a while, but let's say you have for every, you know, rusty bullet you shoot, it takes a certain amount of total durability off a weapon. And you can repair it when you go back to base. but you're slowly losing durability. But fortunately, all of this stuff's pretty farmable. So you can't completely stick to a single weapon, right? Unless it's a weapon that's dropped fairly often. And then you can have backups. Your storage space is expandable because you need to keep doing that. You've got all sorts of little perks on your character that you continue to expand as you play. There's a lot more levels than where I'm at. And I'm actually currently stuck at level 3, where there's a pretty big difficulty spike. There's like, I want to say like 8 or 9 bosses on this map, and they are pretty intense. It's just a really well-made game. Like, I'm super surprised, and now I understand why there's so many concurrent players in this game. It's a perfect pick-up and put-down game, too. Like, just like Vampire Survivors, right? You can play a match and be done in like 30 minutes. You can get a full level of enjoyment out of this game for sitting down for 30 minutes. And if you die, just like Dark Souls, you can go back and pick up your loot. But if you die again, that loot's gone. So just kind of like a Dark Souls mechanic there. But you get so much loot, like it's not the worst thing in the world until you realize that you're trying to brute force your way through something and you go through all of your reserves. And you're like, shit, I gotta rethink what I'm doing. Like, I got halfway through my reserves, like just face smashing my way through a boss and it not working. So I went back to the drawing board and spent about an hour farming up some decent weapons and knew kind of what I needed to kill to get some good weapons and decided that that boss wasn't for me yet and went to conquer other bosses, right? Surprisingly good game, though. Escape from Dukov. Going to be on my list this year. Didn't expect it.
Nice.
But Borderlands, I know you've been playing Borderlands, right?
I completed it.
I'm on the part where you go to the middle of the map. That's where I'm stopped. Am I halfway, three quarters, or most of the way through the main story?
You're about three quarters of the way through.
Because it takes some turns. The story's not that bad.
Yeah, so the story is way better than three, for sure.
It firmly places 3 at the worst Borderlands ever made. Well, besides the side story one.
The pre-sequel was pretty bad.
Yeah, pre-sequel, then 3.
So, it's a toss-up, man. Pre-sequel was real bad.
I think right now it goes 2, 4, 1, 3 pre-sequel in order of best to worst.
I guess I could
follow along. 2 is super solid. That's like peak Borderlands right there.
Yeah, and that's, well, and if you bring in Tiny Tina's, that's somewhere above 3, but
it's in the bottom 3.
It's in the bottom 3 for sure. Borderlands 4. I'll say that you are in the final stretch. The central area there kind of has 3 sections to it, but it's smaller than the outer sections are. So, right. You can get through it a little bit quicker. That's good.
I am in the middle section now. I forgot.
Yeah. So when you get to a point where you can't use vehicles to get around, then you know you're kind of in that spot. The thing is, for Borderlands 4, I went into it making, really wanting not to hate on this game, and I don't think at any point the game made me want to hate it. Claptrap's still there, and I still hate that fucking character with a burning passion. That character, A, has a volume slider, which was funny as fuck. So you could turn him down. Which I did. I turned him down to 20% so I could kind of ignore him. Read his lines rather than listen to him. And all of the character interactions, I had no problem with. Like, there was enough of a, you know, like bad, you know, badass Vault Hunter feel without being over the top badass or being, you know, when they said that they toned down the toilet humor, they really did.
They could have toned it up just a little bit.
So I disagree. I think this particular tone, where it's got a serious backbone, but they try to, you know, have some fun with it in the process, I can get with. And it had enough of the, you know, the tongue-in-cheek humor and the weirdness from the Borderlands universe to still give it that almost cartoony feel, like when you see fucking the enemies like flying into a rock face and just exploding. That is, you know, there's a lot of things to like about it. I don't necessarily like the open world period a portion of it, because I think they went too open with it. It's weird, but you end up, you know, going up and down the maps, especially if you're trying to do a lot of the quests. You're basically just going all over the fucking map over and over and over.
There's a lot of time just like driving around.
Yeah. And there's, you know, there's better like you, traversal in this.
Yeah. But it's not like you're just jonesing to go through and just kill the same random bandits over and over again, right?
Yeah,
like they're just an obstacle, like I do when they're in the way for things that I'm getting ready to do, but it's not a great way to grind experience or weapons.
Yeah, the, you know, so the what it does actually do is it does make the, you know, the guns and the, you know, and the gun types, especially with like the different manufacturer parts and stuff like that. Gun types can be, you know, surprisingly good in some cases, and surprisingly bad in other cases. But there's enough variation in the gun parts that make each drop, even like blue and, you know, purple drops, make, you know, they make those guns viable, especially as you're playing, you know, leveling up and playing through. You kind of pick up a new gun and you're like, okay, what's this, you know, this thing? Oh, look, it is a, you know, it's an order gun, which basically shoots off a burst after you know, after charging it up, but it can have the Jacobs attachment to it where, you know, it ricochets on a crit. Well, it's super accurate because of how the guns, you know, work. So it does like a burst of damage and it bounces all around. Like it has a lot of, you know, a lot of benefits to, you know, the new gun system.
I was going to say something that I did like doing on this is I've been farming legendaries. That's where I've gotten lost on that game. I was doing the middle part, and I was like, I want to farm some legendaries. And then I, you know, started testing out the replay feature, because I've been max level now for probably about 5 hours of my gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't get past this stupid assault rifle that I chuck. I think it's called Chuck.
Oh, yes.
And mine's Chuck with a Teodor attachment, so it follows enemies. So you throw it, and most enemies die in one hit, and then bosses, I sent you guys a video. Bosses melting in seconds, like ridiculous. And I still haven't found, it's the stupidest gun in the world, but I still haven't found anything that's actually as hilarious and fun to use. The only issue I have with it is it uses a chuck ton of ammo.
Right.
So that's the limiting factor. So I end up using a lot of other weapons, and it's like time to melt boss. And it's like bring out Chuck and melt boss with Chuck. And I'm still farming a legendary. Like to do better, but like, yeah, some of the legendaries are pretty fun. I've enjoyed my time with it. Like, I really thought this game was going to suck.
and
I was going to refund it. And I don't know what my playtime is. I'd say 40 plus hours at this point. I'm trying to pull up my Steam right now. I'm probably more than that.
I'm pretty sure
We've been playing it for two months.
I'm at 92.7 hours in that game. I've done basically all the things. I've completed the game. Went through, did some of the Ultimate Vault Hunter stuff. And I kind of fell off mainly because I got to a point where I'm like, okay, well, I'm just...
Oh, 84.4 hours. Okay.
Yeah, I was going through and just basically farming the bosses over and over and over again, which I guess is a way to play that game. It's just not the way that I want to play that game. And I really was kind of playing with the idea of going back and playing a different character. Because I went with Vex, the Siren. Where is that? Did I say Vex? Is it Vex? Fuck, I can't remember now.
I can't remember the names either. I got Backpack Boy. I can't remember what his name is either.
Backpack Boy. But basically, it's very, that's the thing. Thing is, I'm getting it mixed up with Critical Role in my head, and that really bothers the piss out of me. So,
what was the, so you beat it then, right?
Yes.
What's your final rating on it?
So Borderlands 4 final rating. Let's see. I feel like this would be probably 4.3 sounds good. The reason I say, and I dock some points off of it, is it's got to be a fucking stellar game for it to be for it to be a 5 in my book. But
no, 100%.
But one of the biggest issues I had was anytime you even fart wrong towards your fucking video card, it takes a half an hour for this game to load because it has to recompile shaders every single time.
Yeah, every time you update a driver, it's like compiling shaders, and then like, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 minutes later, it's done. Like, go make a sandwich.
You have to sit there and wait for it to do its thing. And then that's just to get to the character screen. And then when you collect your character, you go into the world and you have to recompile shaders for the area that you're in again. So there's another 3 or 4 minutes where you're loading into your character. Jesus Christ, I could play an entire fucking match of a game someplace else. Just waiting for this game to load in. It has a problem there.
Yeah, there's something weird.
It doesn't stream the shaders in well enough during gameplay, it does a decent job during gameplay. Like, it'll stream it while you're going in, but it does a terrible job loading it up. Once you're in there and you're playing it for a period of time, you don't notice any of any problems. But man, does it have, startup problems.
So, yeah, it's really weird that it does. I mean, it's a decent looking game, but it's not like photorealistic or anything. It's like, why is this game taking so long to load?
There's a lot there. So I give it a bit of a dock just because of that. I also wasn't necessarily a huge fan of how big the world was in comparison to the amount of stuff in it. Like, there's portions of the world that really could have just been condensed a bit more. And they just added roads so that there was a road for you to drive on. That didn't make much sense to me. It's just like, I get that vehicle combat was part of a lot of the Borderlands before it. The thing is that none of the vehicles actually do fuck all for damage in this, and it's basically just a skinnable get from point A to point B at this point.
Yeah, I don't shoot weapons off my vehicle ever either.
Right, so...
They don't drive particularly well, so it's just like sliding around corners.
It was not even a big deal for me. I think the vehicles were kind of a, you know, were half baked in this, and I don't necessarily like them very much. That said, there's a lot of quality of life here. Just being able to replay bosses by basically, you know, putting some money into a freaking vending machine and going cha-ching, and you can just replay the bosses cha-ching. Without having to go, you know, exit the game and then reload the game, you know, just to reload the boss like you've had to do for every Borderlands prior to this. That is a game changer for people who want to farm for those legendaries, because god damn, was that a pain in the ass. The only other thing I can think of is there isn't much in the way of end game currently. You know, so Borderlands has always been a game where, yeah, you get through your levels, complete the story, get through your vault, ultimate vault hunter mode. There needs to be some stuff to do, right? Because, you know, what are you getting all of these great guns and this great build for if you can't just go, you know, if you can't put it against something that's going to last for more than half a second? You know, so there needs to be a little bit more in the way of end game for the, you know, for this to be able to, you know, to have some longevity. So there's been a pretty big drop off in the player count since its release, mainly because there isn't much to do afterwards. I mean, it's one of the reasons why I don't play it, outside of possibly playing it for another character.
Right on.
So, yeah, the,
but still, yeah, recommend.
I'd still recommend it. Yeah. If you're a fan of any of the Borderlands, like literally any of the Borderlands, this is one of, you know, this is the best one since 2. And
I would agree with that. It is
an enjoyable experience. I would definitely wholeheartedly recommend it if you like looter shooters or have enjoyed any of the Borderlands games prior to this. That's basically it. Is that the last game that you played there?
No, I had one more quick one before we end out the bigger episode. Wanted to say the Nasis came out in 1.0. I don't know if you guys know anything about that game, but
Nasis, it was an indie title that was as a pixel art, right?
It's a mix of a lot of things. It's a mix between a RimWorld Lite and a Terraria, but on a top-down plane. And so you've got a little bit of settlement management, but it's mostly to do rote tests that you don't care about and to give you a buddy while you go down and do dungeon grinds. And then you can summon bosses kind of like Terraria, and there's kind of like a central story and exploration arc and a whole bunch of stuff that you can craft. But it came out in 1.0, and I think I want to say I've put about 6 hours into it because it came out pretty recently. So I don't have a full review. All I can say is that game runs. This game is just hot shit. To me, it's the next best thing since like a Terraria or Starbound. It's very combat focused. Obviously, you need to get. The reason for you to farm is not this. I mean, I guess you could make money, but the reason for you to farm is to get buffs so that you can explore harder. And you've got multiple levels of underneath the ground and also multiple levels of generative terrain and dungeons on the top side too. And it's a very active game. You don't have your character doesn't have stats. It's just your gear is your stats. So you can literally play whatever character you want and just put the right trinkets on them to give, like, so I hop back and forth between a wizard and a knight, And the knight's got like high armor trinkets and high armor gear, where my mage has a lot of evasion stuff plus a lot of extra stuff for mana regen and mana and magic crit. And that's just like, I'm just in the beginning stages of the game too. But you unlock all sorts of new recipes to craft better things. And then you find loot in these dungeons that give you better things. Like, it's a bigger, more expanded Terraria. This is kind of like where I'd always hoped the Terraria would go to, is like just having a little bit more. I don't know, like Terraria, you basically get to a certain level and you're doing bosses down below too, right? And then you summon all the bosses up top and you're kind of done. Like, it's a great game. Terraria is one of my favorite games of all time. This is just Terraria expanded into kind of some different universes. But yeah, for the settlement stuff, right, like you set a settlement flag and then you can kind of like set certain areas for them to, you know, be allowed and disallowed. And then you can tell them like, you know, I want you farming or I want you mining, so they can start taking care of the mining. Or maybe you can tell them to clear a bunch of trees for you while you're down adventuring, and you can automate it to where they dump all of this into a certain chest. And so you literally can get them to do all the rote tasks for you. That's where the settlement management is. They just do all that stuff that takes a while for you. And then, of course, you can build up a base. And like, I've got a bunch of like sheep and cows, right, currently making baby cows so I can have, you know, baby beef. That sounds horrible. Baby okay. beef. But it's just a good game. It's a really good game. And I think it's on sale for like $13, and I'll probably get 100 hours out of this stupid game, if not more.
Yeah, I just put it on my wish list. It looks fantastic.
It's super. I said, it does a lot of things right. Like, it's not grindy for grindy's sake. Like, the grind is exploration and killing stuff, and you will run into stuff that's too tough for you. But it's you kind of. Do whatever. It's a perfect podcast game, listening to some music, a podcast, watching TV while adventuring, and then kind of like expanding on your tool set so that you can do more things. And it does a whole random tile set thing, just like Minecraft or any of these other games that work with seeds do. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, diverse biomes and everything else, just like you get in like Terraria. It's a really good game. And then I've got some other survival games that I want to play before the end of the year. So I'll be playing a lot more Surround Dead, which I haven't played enough to really give you any kind of review. It's pretty hard, but I got at least sustainable my last little bit of a run. And then Vayne, which is pretty intense. It's I love my zombie survival games if they're decent. But Vayne is in a spot where, like, while there's power in the world, because it's kind of like Project Zomboid, like, you need to go around to all the houses, filling up all the bathtubs so that you have a water supply while you figure out how to make your own water supply and, you know, be good enough to get generators and all sorts of stuff. Like, it's a pretty intense game. And the organization that game's pretty good too. But I think for this episode, we've got a pretty full-length episode going here. We've got a whole bunch of news stories that you guys will see through the rest of the week, so...
Find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and twitter.com/tiltcast. Our YouTube channels, youtube.com/tiltcastshorts with a Z, and search for us on iTunes and Spotify, where you can find both full episodes of the podcast and our news segments.
Yeah, and we've got a few friends of the show, say free friends. We've got Pupcast or Picking Up the Pixels on Spotify as well. It's tvgp.tv. They do fantastic things. And Boston's still doing it. So with that, it's the end of the show. All right, guys.
All right. Peace.